Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
It's our TOEIC unit today, and we're going to talk about what happens at a trade show. I'm sure many of you are very much involved in these things, and you have lots of products that you want to introduce to potential clients, and that's what trade shows are all about.
I used to go to trade shows when I was in New York. It was before I moved to New York City. I was in Rochester, and I worked for Xerox for a while. And the guys I worked with, we were the networking team. They put together networks. They would always invite me to go to their trade shows, even though I was just temping. They took me along. It was real fun. You get to meet a lot of people. You know, it's in a big place where a lot of companies are showing off their brand new products. It's kind of fun.
So you participated in a trade show. You weren't just going there to check things out.
No, I represented Xerox.
Okay, so I guess trade shows are kind of limited. I mean, any person just can't walk in. You got to be kind of in the industry and stuff like that.
You have to pay money.
You got to pay money.
Yeah.
So we are going to be talking about the trade show today through a conversation between Douglas and Jenny, okay? And they're talking about putting on some kind of trade show here, or at least Jenny is interested in 3D scanners, and she's got some kind of product that's the other person, Douglas, might be able to help her with using some kind of scanner here.
Cool.
So let's get to it here. Let's listen to their conversation first, and then we'll come back to talk about their conversation. Good afternoon. I see you're taking a look at some of our 3D scanners.
That's right. I like the design a lot. However, I'm not exactly sure how they work.
Allow me to give a demonstration. The basic idea is to be able to create a 3D model of the item you have scanned on a computer.
I understand, and I'm keen to see one in action.
Let's use this coffee mug as a test object. I'm going to take the scanner and move it slowly around the mug. The 3D image will appear there on the monitor.
That's impressive, but wouldn't it take a long time to scan something large?
My company manufactures a range of scanners, from small handheld ones to large industrial-sized ones for use in factories.
So they could be used for something as large as a car?
That's correct. There's no difference in the accuracy of the data collected from the scan, no matter how large the subject is.
I see. By the way, my name is Jenny Barber. I'm the head of one of the design teams at Santiago Industries. My team is responsible for making car interiors more comfortable and more visually appealing.
Well, one of our handheld scanners would make it child's play to get inside a car and gather data, while our larger ones could be used to scan the entire car at once.
That's exactly what I had in mind.
All right, we are at the trade show. In today's lesson, Douglas and Jenny are having a conversation about 3D scanners. Now, Douglas, I guess, is at a booth at the trade show.
Yeah.
And Jenny has kind of walked over, and she's looking over what they have on display. Douglas notices this. He doesn't ignore her. He's very professional here. And he actually introduces himself. Good afternoon. I see you're taking a look at some of our 3D scanners. Actually, he doesn't introduce himself, but he does actually offer some assistance here. We all know what a scanner is. It's a machine that takes in information, usually visual information. If you have a photograph, like an old picture from 1950 or something, you could scan it on a scanner, and then you'll have a digital copy of that photograph. It's like a picture of your grandparents when they got married or something like that. And then you can send it out over the internet to all your friends. And, of course, the machine that does that scan is a scanner.
When they first came out, they were all called flatbed scanners because you had to put something that was really flat on the top of the scanner.
Like a screen. Picture or a document or something.
But now they've got 3D scanners, which is really cool. I have seen the handheld version, not for 3D scanners, but handheld scanners that you can just wipe over a piece of paper and it picks up what's on the paper. It's kind of fun. Now, she says, she's really looking at some of the 3D scanners and she likes the design a lot. However, she says, I'm not exactly sure how they work. Well, one of the reasons why you would go to a trade show is so that you can demonstrate your products to consumers or customers. You want them to see how to use it, what kind of functions they have, and really it's a better way to advertise than just, say, a quick 30-second commercial on the TV, because they can actually hold things, try them out, use them. It's a great way to show off your new products.
Yeah, and Jenny might be a buyer or something, and she might want to buy several thousand units from Douglas or something like that. So, of course, it's in your best interest to be as helpful and polite as possible when people are interested in your products. So, yes, indeed, she likes the design, but she's not sure how it works. And Douglas says, well, allow me to give a demonstration. Again, that's when they show you how to use it, and that's from the verb to demonstrate. He's going to demonstrate to her how to use the 3D scanner. So he says, well, the basic idea is to be able to create a 3D model of the item you have scanned on a computer. So, yes, you want to have this model on the computer. That's the basic idea for this three-dimensional model, 3D, three dimensions, height, width, and depth. And you want to put that image on your computer, not two-dimensional, but three-dimensional, again, with those three dimensions.
That's right. Well, she says, I understand. She understands what he's saying, and I'm keen to see one in action, she says. If you're keen to do something, it means you're really eager, you're very enthusiastic about something. It's really something you're interested in.
Here she says she is keen to see one in action. She'd really like to see one being used live. She'd like to see a live demonstration. And Douglas says, well, let's use this coffee mug as a test object. A mug here is like a thick kind of cup that is used for drinking usually hot beverages.
It has
like
a handle on it.
Right, they have them at the Starbucks and places like that. And I think actually the Chinese word actually comes from this mug.
Yeah.
And so they've got this coffee mug and they're going to use it as their test object or the thing they're going to do the scan on.
So he's going to take the scanner and just move it slowly around the mug so it picks up all these certain, you know, elements of the mug, how tall it is, how wide it is. The 3D image, he says, will then appear on the monitor. The monitor, of course, is the part of a computer that shows the picture of what you're looking at. So if you don't have a laptop yet, you're probably working on a desktop computer. Has a CPU that has the engine of the computer, you could say. It's called the CPU. And then on top of that, or nearby, is the monitor. And nowadays, they're flat screen monitors.
Indeed.
LED monitors.
That's right. And they're getting a higher and higher resolution all the time. So, of course, you can have a nice 3D image of that mug on the monitor there. And then later, I guess, you could use a 3D printer to try to print it out if you want to. Now, Jenny says, oh, that's impressive. But wouldn't it take a long time to scan something large? Like if you wanted to scan, say, Taipei 101, that might take several days to scan that.
And a helicopter.
And a helicopter. And imagine the size of printer you'd have to make in order to have a print made of Taipei 101.
I know.
They probably have a smaller scale model. But in any case here, she does say that it is impressive. If something's impressive, it impresses you. It makes you admire it and you think it's really great. You think it's really grand, really awesome. Oh, that's so impressive. I just saw Jeremy Lin stuff the basketball from center court in one jump.
Wow.
That was so impressive.
I think you're lying, but that would be impressive. Now, Douglas goes on to say his company manufactures a range of scanners, from small handheld ones to large industrial-sized ones. Now, if you manufacture something, it means you make things in large quantities, and you typically have to have a factory to do that, a factory has lots of big pieces of machinery that you would use. A range of just means they have lots of different sizes and shapes of scanners. And then he goes on to talk about what the range is like. He's got from small ones to large industrial size. If it's industrial size, it's pretty darn big. It's probably big enough to go into a factory.
Right, and of course, the handheld ones is pretty small. You can hold it in your hand and scan that coffee mug or whatever is in front of you, maybe a teapot or something. And Jenny says, well, so they could be used for something as large as a car. So remember, he said the range of the scanners there, one is a large industrial size one that could be used in a factory. So she's imagining, well, then, if it's that big, could it actually scan something as large as a car?
Mm.
If you want to scan a car, I can imagine maybe some people would need a 3D image of a car inside their computer.
I'm not sure what for, but there you go. Now, Douglas continues on. He says, hey, that's correct. There's no difference in the accuracy of the data collected from the scan, no matter how large the subject is. His scanner sounds pretty cool. Now, when you talk about the accuracy of something, you're talking about how correct something is. Now, if you're producing something, you want all of your data to be accurate or absolutely correct or precise. And he's pretty much bragging or talking about how great their scanners are by saying this.
Indeed. So there is no difference in the accuracy. You could just scan a small object or a large one. They all take the data either way, so there's no real difference. And Jenny says, well, I see. I understand. I get it. By the way, let me just ask this question while we're at it. My name is Jenny Barber. Okay, so I guess she is so far impressed with Douglas's demonstration, and she is also impressed with the actual product, so she's decided to have some kind of business communication here. She's introducing herself, Jenny Barber, and she also goes on to say, I'm the head of one of the design teams at Santiago Industries. Okay, so that's the company she works for, and she's the head of one of the design teams. I guess there are several teams that design things in this company. She's the head or the leader of one of those teams.
That's right. So what does her team do? Well, this team, what does her team actually work on? She says they're responsible for making car interiors more comfortable and prettier or visually appealing. Mm. If you're responsible for something, it means you have an obligation to do something or you have control over something. It's your job to take care of a particular area or perhaps to care for somebody. When I was growing up, I had to babysit a lot, and I was responsible for making sure the little kids didn't kill themselves or get hurt. So that was my obligation. If I didn't perform well, I would be in big trouble. My mom would get mad at me.
You got to keep your eye on those little devils.
You do.
They're always causing trouble.
Seriously.
So, yes, indeed, you are responsible for the safety of those children. But here, Jenny Barber is responsible for making car interiors more comfortable and more visually appealing. So the interior of something is the inside of something.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, if you drive your car, the interior has to be really comfortable, okay, not just in terms of how it feels, but also what it looks like that affects your well-being and whether you want to buy another car by that same company. So, of course, companies have to pay strong attention to the appearance and the comfort of car interiors.
That's right. She's also responsible, or her team is, for making those interiors more visually appealing. When you use the word visual, you're talking about what you can see, something that you can take in with your eyes. And if it's appealing, it means it's attractive, it's interesting, it's something that someone would want. So she doesn't work on the exterior of the cars. That's the opposite of interior. They kind of work on what you sit on, what the radio looks like, what your speakers are going to, where your speakers are going to go, things like that. What kind of fabric or leather your car seats are made out of. Those are parts that her team would be in charge of.
Yes, of course, when you go into the showroom and look at a new car, you want it to be visually appealing. Otherwise, why the heck would you pay for such a vehicle? Now, Douglas says, well, one of our handheld scanners would make it child's play to get inside a car and gather data. So he says that even their small handheld scanners could make a scan of the inside of the car that would be child's play. Child's play here just means it's just so easy that even a child can do it. No problem. Our handheld scanner could do the job.
That's right. We'll often say it's child's play when we want to emphasize how easy it is. Anyone could do it. You don't have to use the verb make it. You could just say, hell, this is child's play. Maybe your friend has a new video game and he thinks it's really difficult, but you've played it before and you're pretty good. You say, move over. This is child's play. And you show him how easy it is to score a lot of points. So that's what her team does. And he thinks it's pretty easy to use their scanners. So it looks like they've both found, he's found the perfect customer and she's found a product she really likes.
Absolutely. So, of course, that handheld scanner can scan the interior of the car. And the larger ones, of course, could be used to scan the entire car on the outside, I guess, if you need to have a 3D model of the outside of that car. I wonder if it's big enough to scan, say, a large semi-tractor-trailer-truck combination, or a semi, as we call an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
That might be difficult, but I'm sure Douglas would say, that's child's play. We could do that real easily. And Jenny goes on to say, that's exactly what I had in mind. So I guess she both wants scanning ability for the inside and the outside of the car.
Cool. Well, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher for a bit, and then we'll be back to go over some extra dialogues.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天看的是第12个单元。好，我们来看跟多益相关的文章。今天的标题谈的是参观商展。商展英文就是 trade show。好，看到 trade show, 这边有一个对话内容，来看他卖什么，他要推销什么。这里的重点是 3D 扫描器 ,3D scanner。那我们看到内容里头，好，在对话当中，他提到要示范说这个机器怎么用，所以他在 Douglas 他的回答里头，他说到 allow me to give a demonstration。首先看到 allow， 我们知道 allow 是允许、容许，它的句型上要特别的注意，当你 allow somebody to do something， 那一定是不定式的 to。好，接下来在这个对话当中 ，Jenny 她就要真的看看这个东西到底怎么操作，然后她就说了，I'm keen to see one in action。One 当然就是不定代名词。那不定代名词它的用法上呢，就表示是讲同一个名词前面提过的名词，但是不是那个同样的东西。以这边来说，这个 one 当然就是指 a scanner 啊，我很想看看怎么操作这个 a scanner in action， 3D 的扫描器实际运作是什么样子。那接下来呢， Douglas 当然呢他就开始解释他要怎么去操作。好，首先呢看到他的答案里头， Let's use this coffee mug as a test object。 好， use something as something， 把 A 当作是 B。 好，这个 as当然就是后面接某一个角色用途，像这边就是把它当作测试对象。好了，继续看这个对话内容。好，这个对话内容里头 Douglas 他有提到说，这个扫描器啊有不同的型款，然后呢其中的有一种型款它是 handheld ones， 另外一种是 large industrial size ones。 handheld ones 它指的是手持型的这样的 3D 扫描器。那另外一个重点呢就是 handheld， 我们看到这样的复合形容词它用的是一个 hand 名词再加一个 held 这是一个过去分词中文翻成手持的那为什么 held 要用过去分词呢因为你知道我们要修饰的对象是 scanner 那这个 scanner 是你用手去握它的所以它是被握的所以在语义上就是 a scanner that is held by hand 所以说你就可以解释得出来为什么你会选择过去分词的原因了好有没有别的类似的例子当然有比如说我们讲 heartbroken 你用的就是一个 PP 前面加名词或者是说你讲巧克力、哦、它是 handmade 或者你讲酒、哎、是私人家里自己酿造的 homebrewed 好注意到类似片语很多都是复合形容词后面的 industrial size 其实也是一个复合形容词那 size 长的是尺寸、哦、所以我们常常跟别的字在一起形成复合形容词像你说如果讲一个雕像也好它是跟真人一样的大小你会说它是 life size 那你说一个是大杯的饮料小杯的饮料你会用Large size, small size. 好，这都是一样的道理。再来呢，最后我们来看一下，句型里边有一个重点，他提到了，不管是扫描对象有多大，这个不论不管它有多大，你用 no matter how。好 ,no matter how, 要记住哦，这个 no matter 它不独立使用的，它不等于中文无论，就这样结束。不对它一定要后面加一个 WH 这种疑问词像你是 how 或者是 when where and who what 都可以好现在我们再继续看最后一个重点最后一个重点就在这个对话结束接近结束的地方好说到说它的这个手持式的这种扫描器啊它会让进入车内采集数据很轻而易举好看到句型里面我们知道 make 如果你用它的句型来看它是个 VOC 的句型也是受词在后面接着是补语但是如果你在这个句型里头的受词很长比如说你是一个动作像这边的、oh, to get inside a car and gather data 那怎么办呢你就会把 IT 摆在 make 的后面也就是当虚受词来用然后你把它真正的受词这个动作部分摆到补语后面这就是这个句构里面的 make itchild's play to get inside a car and gather data 啊，它整个剧情变成这样子写的原因好我们今天的解释到此为止下次见
Okay, here are our extra dialogues for today.
Okay.
Stephanie, I think、yeah. I'm going to be A and you be B. Are we ready?
Yep.
Action. What software is required for these scanners?
Our software is compatible with any kind of OS.
Okay, so remember the hardware is the actual scanner, the computer, the monitor and stuff like that. The computer program that operates these things is the software.And, I guess on your smartphone, the software technically is an application or an app, as we call them, or an APP, as you guys call them. But, of course, if you're scanning something, you're probably going to be using a desktop computer because you want the best results.
Well, the answer to this is our software is compatible with any kind of OS. OS stands for operating system.And if you know about computers, you know that Windows is a different OS than iPhones, iOS, I think they call theirs. Now, if something is compatible with something else, it means they work together well. They go together well. I remember even 15 years ago, because Apple had a different operating system than Microsoft, or Windows computers, we could never share files. Mm. And it was so irritating. But nowadays, it's much easier to go from one OS to another OS.
Yeah, they're more compatible nowadays.
They are.
That's very convenient for all of us. Well, let's go on to the next conversation. I think I'm going to be B this time. And why don't you be A, Stephanie? Ready? Action.
Would you be available to give a presentation at my company?
Of course. Here's my business card with my email address and the company website.
So if you're really excited about a product at a trade show, you might ask for that company to come visit you on location, which means at your particular business or maybe your headquarters. And maybe let your CEO and the top executives listen to his sales pitch, you know, so that they could buy in or you could get buy-in to having this particular company do some work with you. It's a great idea.
And, of course, the other person says, of course, no problem. Here's my business card. It's got my information, including my email address, and also some information about the company website if you want to check it out yourself. Okay, let's go on now to the next conversation. I'm going to be B this time.
Okay.
Go, you be A. Go ahead.
I'd like to take a look around, but I'll be back later on. Will you still be here?
Yes, I'll be here all day today and tomorrow.
If you've been to a trade show, you know that they are huge. They are so big. There are a lot of people there actually to see different products. There are a lot of companies that have set up booths. That's what we call those things, booth, B-O-O-T-H, a booth. And it's countable, so you can put S on that. You get a booth, you rent one. Usually as a company, you rent one and then you decorate it and you're actually stuck there all day. We had a team, so we would rotate. So some of us could go around and look at other booths while some people still were in the booth to take care of questions from Xerox customers. So this is good. Yeah, one of the things that you'll have people ask you sometimes, especially if you're busy talking to another customer, is, are you going to be here all day? I'll come back later. Is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah, because people are going to be checking out other booths and stuff like that. So certainly you want the people to be there when you come back again later. So that's a good arrangement here. And we're going to finish off our lesson today with a discussion question. Let me fire this question at you, Stephanie. What is more important to you, design or function? And please explain your answer.
Well, it depends on what you're buying. I just bought a new laptop today and, you know, I wanted to buy one of those really light laptops, but when it came right down to it, I knew that my laptop was probably going to stay at home on my desk, and I wanted a lot of power, and if I got one that wasn't so powerful, but it was lighter, I wouldn't be able to get a CD-ROM, a driver, a CD player, and I still need those for some of my old things. So I ended up getting something based on function and not design.
Yeah, I guess for me, I can think of the example of whether to buy a motorcycle or whether to buy a scooter.
Oh,
a motorcycle looks cool. It's kind of macho looking. I think I'd rather have that. But that's the design, the more of the appearance. The function is just basically getting from home to work and stuff like that in the city. And therefore, I think function is more important. Because it rains a lot in Taipei and it's hard to park motorcycles, so I'd rather get a scooter. That's more based on function. I like the look of a motorcycle better than a scooter, but a scooter is more practical.
Okay, guys, we sure are glad you joined us. We hope you learned a lot of new words and phrases. And if you're studying for a TOEIC test, best of luck. From English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.